Welcome to Eclectics, the podcast about anything and everything youth ministry. You name it. I'm Rob Brower.
I'm Scott Davis.
And Scott, we're in a new location.
We are a brand new location.
Yes, we had a new high-rise built for us with all the money that our listeners have been sending in.
Yeah.
And we are in the penthouse suite overlooking the city of Richfield.
Yeah, we're sitting next to the indoor pool because it's not really outdoor pool weather yet.
Yes.
So we're not out there, but we're at the indoor pool.
But with the retractable roof, it could easily become an outdoor pool.
Yes, exactly. And it adds to, yes.
Yeah. So. But oddly, this penthouse looks a lot like the classroom directly across the hallway from your office Richfield Church.
Yes, it's very similar. There are some slight differences.
I'm looking on the wall and I still see like the modern map of the Middle East and the statue in the Book of Daniel. And
there's some creepy figures and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We have a goat head over there on the wall.
Yeah.
What is going on over there?
They talk about fun things in here.
Actually, normally you drive up to the Olympia area and we record there. But as it turns out, all of this recording equipment was portable.
Yeah.
And so I brought it down.
It was great.
Because the day we normally record, you're actually leaving to go on vacation.
Yes, I am.
Are you going anywhere exciting?
I am. We're gonna spend some time at the Grand Canyon.
Whoa!
Yeah, and then when we're done there, we're gonna head back to Vegas, spend a couple nights at a resort in Vegas, so the kids can have plenty of water slides and pool time. And probably we're planning on taking in one of the nights we're gonna take in like a Blue Man group or something as a family.
Awesome. As I was wasting a little bit of time last night on YouTube videos, I started watching one. That was actually, I was looking for a YouTube video to use as an illustration.
Yeah.
Then when that one got done, it was like, here's a bunch of suggested ones. I was like, oh, that looks interesting. And I clicked about four in. There was a dude who was doing what I'm talking about.
The PVC pipe thing. The PVC pipe thing. Blue Man Group does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing.
This teenager built it and he threw it in front of
I don't think he's a teenager anymore. I think he's like a young adult, but anyway.
I don't know. I didn't ask him.
He's doing it professionally now. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. He's doing gigs and whatnot. Yeah.
It was impressive.
It was. And I can't remember his name, but anyway, yeah, props to him.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It was actually really cool. And I love it when the Blue Man Group does that.
Yeah,
he does an homage to the Blue Man Group, and he does a couple of songs like dressed up Blue Man Group style with the blue mask and everything. So,
homage always makes me think of cheese.
Fromage. I mean, if you parle français, but if you don't,
oui,
then
je parle très un peu de français.
Oui. Okay, so I just had a weird flashback to all the years that I took French in school.
Yeah.
Madame Bennett was from France, and so she was like a stickler, dude.
Oh, nice.
So we would have to ask how to say things in French, and so it was like
immersive. I remember those classes. I took French too.
Robert, en français, s'il vous plaît.
The problem is that it takes 20 minutes to get questions out.
Yeah, comment est-ce qu'on dit? I really need to poop bad en français, s'il vous plaît. Robert! Just go.
Just go.
Merci. Murky buckets. All right.
Murky buckets.
Yes. Yes. All right. So so we're down here.
No tangents here.
No. We're down here in Richfield on your turf, and so it's really cool. This is our first time recording here. I'm excited.
It's a little echoey because my office has a loud downspout outside the window, and it has been raining, and so it was a little loud to do it.
It was
see this
not a little loud. It was very loud.
Yeah, well, I don't notice it anymore, so it's a little loud to me.
You probably lost that range of hearing just from hearing it constantly. Can't hear anything in that range.
So we moved into this classroom, so if it sounds a little bit echoey, it's because it's a generic Sunday school classroom. So
oh, it's fine.
It's great. It's fine. It's going to be like the Canyon.
You know, one of my favorite cartoons is, you know, when Donald Duck is yelling into the chasm. It's like... He's like, hello, and then, everybody else is echoing, but he tries to echo, and it doesn't echo back.
Oh, because of his quack.
Yeah, and then he goes, you're a jerk. And then it says, you're a jerk, you're a jerk. And then it goes, I'm a jerk, I'm a... And then it echoes back, you're a jerk. He's like, ah. Gets all mad.
Again, no tangents here.
No tangents.
We're straight on topic, always.
We haven't told them what the topic is, so as far as they know, we are right on the scheduled topic.
They don't realize. Look, we have a script.
What did it say right here? It said, 1 minute, 32 seconds, talk about French class. And it says 32 seconds, talk about Donald Duck. And then it says, talk about the next topic.
So we're on script. We're just behind schedule.
I don't know. I'm not watching the clock.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
That's an executive pastor job, not a youth pastor job.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so we were at the Northwest Ministry Conference.
Yes.
It was last week. Yes. And
I came up for a day.
Yes.
You were there.
You came up for the intensives.
The intensives. Then I had to head home.
Yeah, and it was a bummer, but you got to hang out with Rick Bunchu, and we talked about that last week.
Yeah, it was a great experience. Had a wonderful time. Really, the whole drive home, I was just thinking, man, I wish I could stay, but I knew I couldn't, and that was fine. But
you prefer to sleep in the bed, not on the couch. I get it.
Yeah, just a little bit of that.
And so, so it was great to hear from Rick. After you had left,
you got to do some emceeing.
Yes, and so what they have asked me to do the past several years is the Northwest Ministry Conference is like 5 ministry conferences in one. They've got a track for your tech guy to go to, and CCI Solutions comes in, and they bring in all the dealers like Yamaha and all these guys, and they have their latest soundboards and video switchers, and they give breakout sessions on like how to do this with the equipment and whatnot. Awesome stuff. And then they've got a track for women's ministry, for men's ministry, for lead pastors, for worship pastors, for children pastors. And then they've got the youth ministry track. And so I MC the youth ministry portion. So we have several general sessions throughout the weekend. And then Friday is for leaders.
Right.
And then Saturday is a youth one day. So the leaders bring their teens up. And so then I MC that. There's several general sessions. And then we break out. There's some breakouts that are designed for teens and some that are designed for leaders. So there's a little something for everybody. But what's really cool is they always bring in speakers, and then I get to interview these speakers live in front of everyone. And I got to interview them the previous conference as well. But Clint Gresham, who is the former long snapper for the Seattle Seahawks, he is a great guy.
The Super Bowl champion.
Super Bowl champion. Seattle Seahawks. You are absolutely correct. He had a Super Bowl ring. The thing is huge and it is heavy.
I saw a picture. It looked rather large.
It is rather large, and he's a pretty good sized guy. So like, and I wear a pretty good sized ring, and his like made my finger feel like it was non-existent. I mean, it was like, look at them skinny little fingers I got. The thing like weighed more than my phone. It was crazy.
Wow.
Really cool though. It has the Seahawk head on it and a whole bunch of diamonds. So very sparkly. Clint, if you Google him and look on, Wikipedia or wherever, you'll learn that, I mean, he's very upfront about this. He's a strong Christian. And it was just great to talk to him about it. And the last time I interviewed him, it was all about like, yay, you won a Super Bowl and, let me see the ring and oh my goodness, it's so awesome. And he gave some words of advice to the kids about, following your dreams, et cetera, et cetera. This time was a little different. Because unfortunately, the Seahawks let him go. Mm. And so he's no longer the long snapper. He's a free agent. So if we have any general managers out there listening, looking for a good long snapper, you can contact myself. You can contact them directly.
We've got a buddy. A close friend of the clinic.
Yes. So if anybody's looking for a long snapper, just let us know. And we'll let Clint know, and we'll hook you guys up. Yeah.
Nice.
And so... So I asked him to talk about it a little bit, and he explained how he was taking a golf lesson, and the phone rang. He looks down, and it's Schneider, and he's like, you don't want to hear from your general manager like in March, like right after the season's over. It's never good news, so he lets it go to voicemail, and then he says, man, if I'm gonna get let go, I'm gonna get let go on my terms. So I'll call him back when I'm ready to get let go. So he calls him back. And then it goes to voicemail. He's like, oh, man, apparently two can play at that game.
Yeah.
So the phone.
Snyder's going to let him on his turn.
Exactly. So it's not his first rodeo. So he calls him back, and he answers the call. And he's like, hey, Grasher, there's no easy way to tell you this. Yeah, we're going with someone else. And so we're not going to bother trying to trade you and play that game. We're just going to release you. And so, you know, that stung, obviously. And he said there was like a little bit of awkward silence. And then Coach Carroll gets on the phone and says, hey, thank you for your service. You've been great. You know, we wish luck and success in the future. And so there he is, no longer a Seattle Seahawk. And he said it kind of stung. And I said, you know, I look back over his college and professional career, and he went to the University of Oklahoma for 1 year, but then he wound up, he was a walk-on. You know, it's not like they came and said, hey, man, you're the long snapper on the team. So he walks onto that team, but ultimately transfers to TCU, and he was the only long snapper invited to the draft in 2010, but he didn't get drafted. And so it was kind of like this momentary high. Like, I'm at Oklahoma, one of the big colleges, you know, known for football, and I'm going to get picked up.
It's kind of like it's an honor to be nominated.
Exactly. And then you know, you wind up, man, I can go to TCU. Not that TCU is a bad school, but, you know. And so then, you know, oh, yes, it's a high. I get invited to the draft. And then, oh, man, didn't get drafted. But then he winds up, he wanted to play for the Texans because he's from Texas. And then he wound up going to camp with the Saints. And they had won a Super Bowl. And so, you know, good opportunity there, you know, perhaps. The team had kind of rebuilt itself. But then he gets released, you know. And so now he's in free agency, which the tough thing about that is that at this point, everybody's kind of picked their guy. And so you're like the bottom of the barrel. And so if somebody's desperate for a, you know, long snapper, their guy got hurt or something, and you get picked up. But, you know, they don't get the big contracts like wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks do, you know, and even linemen these days, right? So he winds up, though, getting signed to a 3-year contract with the Seahawks, which was awesome. They win a Super Bowl. He's got this 3-year contract. Things are looking great now. And then they let him go. So I asked him, you know, I said, man, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride. You know, just a bunch of highs and lows, and like, you know, tell me a little bit about that. And he said that, yes, of course, getting let go hurt, and, you know, not realizing the full potential of, you know, what he thought was going to happen. You know, that was kind of a bummer. But he said that, you know, really, and this I think was the crux of the interview, was that his identity wasn't wrapped up in what jersey he's wearing or his paycheck or, you know, which college he went to and, you know, which one had more prestige. It was in who God created him to be and who God says he is in Christ.
Right.
And so that was really cool. And you know, today's day and age, a lot of teens have this pipe dream. You know, I help coach 8th grade football, and every year we get a bunch of guys that think they're going to go to high school, get scouted, go to a D1 school, first round draft pick, millions and millions of dollars, live happily ever after. But it that's a very, very rare story.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just something that's there in the lives of teenagers in our youth groups. It's there in the mindsets of a lot of youth workers as well, especially the ones who are, you know, the paid guys, the professional guys and gals out there who make a career at it. And sometimes they get visions of grandeur, and when they don't reach those levels, or it doesn't quite pan out the way that they had expected, you know, some things come crashing down, and you got to deal with the reality of, you know, who's in charge of this game, who's in charge of all of this stuff that's going on, and where's your identity? Like, you know, it reminds me of a friend of mine who, really good friend, he's a voracious reader, and he developed early onset glaucoma. Onset may not be the right word, but anyway, but he developed surprisingly early for his young age, glaucoma, and he was losing his eyesight. It was getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and he was slated to, basically, he was expecting to lose his eyesight pretty quickly. And I had a conversation, as much as he loved to read and everything, I had a conversation with him, what are you going to, you know, how hard is it going to be for you to, because he actually got to a point where he just wasn't reading anything anymore because it hurt too much, just hurt his eyes, and gave drastic headaches. And so I said, what are you going to do when you really can't read anymore? And you know, your sight's gone, and not just the reading, but, you know, see your kids as they grow up and all that kind of stuff. And he said, you know, the reality is I dealt with the, I don't have any expectations of what I need to have in my life. He said, I dealt with all of that a long time ago. And when he was in college, he had a baseball scholarship to college, and he was a good player. He was a really good pitcher, but he ended up destroying his shoulder, and his hip just blew out really bad in his baseball career. And that's when he dealt with all that stuff. And his identity was all wrapped up in being a baseball player. But then he transitioned his mindset. You know, God took him on this journey, and his identity became all about Christ. And at that point, you know, he said, nothing else matters but that. And so then dealing with glaucoma was just like, whatever, I'm good.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think we all need to come to that place where we realize that, it's not bad to have hopes and dreams. And to set our sights high and to have expectations of a certain level for different events that we plan and for things for our youth group or for our own lives, for our families. But then, you know, to not be so wrapped up in those things that when things don't pan out the way that we thought or tragedy strikes in our lives on one plane or another that we crumble with the plans.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I can relate to Clint's story because as a youth pastor, the former church that I was at, the senior pastor had hired me, resigned, and a new guy came in and just let everybody go. And so, and everybody being me, because we're the only two full-time staffers, but it hurt. And, you know, at that point I had to make a decision. It's either, you know, I'm going to scramble and try to find whatever I can go back into the tech field. I can go back to running my business full time. I can, you know, there's a lot of things that I could do to make money and put food on the table. But really, you know, after prayer, my wife and I are both praying, have friends praying for us. Really, God reaffirmed that, listen, this is what I called you to. I called you to ministry. And that call is still on you. And so I decided, all right, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. I'm not going to look for work anywhere else except youth ministry, which is what you've called me to. And there was nothing in Whatcom County. And so it forced me to have to just trust God 100%. And my wife and I, you know, we prayed, wherever you'll lead us, whether it's Tacoma or Tanzania, we'll go.
Right.
We prefer to be somewhere like Tacoma that has cell phone coverage, but, you know, but we wanted to be obedient. And then God opened the doors to Tumwater. It still started with a T, so it was kind of like right in line with that prayer. And then he opened a whole bunch of doors in such a way that it continued to reinforce to us that, yes, this is me providing for you. And before I got hired, they wanted me to take a spiritual gifts test. And for the first time, faith scored high as one of my top three.
Hmm.
And it had always been kind of like down lower, like, you know, number four or something. But because of the things that have been going on in my life, you know, got let go. My dad wound up in the hospital when he was extremely sick and, you know, couldn't find any work. And then I got rear-ended in this car accident. I'm dealing with all of this stuff at once. It forced me to a place where I had hit rock bottom and said, okay, God, I've got no choice. I'm gonna put all my trust in you. And, and it's worked out. So here we are, you know. And so what Clint was basically saying is, listen, the thread through all of that was God. And so what do you do, Scott, about kids who are finding their identity and everything else? And it's just like it's as ever-changing as the wind, you know, the boyfriend and girlfriend that they have this week or – you know, they're grades. They get good grades this report card. Yay! They feel good about themselves. They get poor grades, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, my life is over. You know, all the drama. Like, how do you tend to deal with that?
I just try and always point kids to the big picture, to the long haul, to looking down the road and what do they want the end picture of their life to be. And we talk about that. And a lot of times we'll just talk about what when you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want people to say about you? And they kind of fumble around a little bit, and sometimes they'll throw out some things that are pretty shallow or pretty vain.
Yeah.
And that I was, you know, that I was a good friend, and that, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I kind of throw out, you know, my typical answer to that is, I just want my life to be a collection of yeses to God.
Yeah.
That when God says something, I always say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's my end goal, then all of these other things don't matter. Now, I still try to do my best here and still try and decipher what I need to do in this scenario and in that scenario and find the right direction for different things. But in the end, I don't seek after fame. I don't seek after glory. I don't seek after, well, and I don't, meaning I really try not to seek after these things. And I have this, sometimes it's this battle. But I don't seek after notoriety. I don't seek after financial wealth and all of this kind of stuff. In the end, if those things happen, that's fine. But I'm not going to be defined by all of these other things that are just temporary and fleeting. They're going to fall apart and blow away like leaves falling off the trees.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus on the thing that is eternal, and that is building a life that has regularly said yes to God.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, one of the things that he talked about, and you would have loved it, man, because I know you're all about the neuropsychology,
is
he talked about how in times, like when you're in the valleys, that you cannot continue to speak negatively.
Negative
self-talk, right? Yeah. And so he started talking about positive self-talk, and there was a couple of really cool things. He had a table.
You're skipping over the neuroscience part of it that makes it so great.
Yes. I'm gonna get to that. Hold on.
Oh,
he had done a couple of things. Like he's writing a book right now, and it's gonna be out in the fall. I pre-purchased it, so I'm gonna get it in the summer, and so that's gonna be awesome. And when we get it, we'll come back to this topic and see what he has to say. He also made a documentary about the championship season, and it's called The Making of a Champion. And so I haven't watched it yet, so we'll have to watch that.
Yeah.
But he talked about how 80% of the self-talk that we do is negative self-talk. And then how what happens is our brain doesn't differentiate between true and false. It just hears what it hears and accepts it, right?
And it creates the neural pathways that reinforce negative thinking.
Exactly.
And then where maybe we were at 50% of the stuff is negative self-talk, it moves to 55 and then 60 and then 70 and then 80. And you can even go beyond that to where the only stuff you think about yourself is negative all the time. And every time you do it, it reinforces more and more and more the negative stuff, no matter how false it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reverse is also true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, there's a lot of sayings that reinforce that. You know, whether you think you can or you can't, you're probably right. You know, there are two wolves battling inside, you know, which one's going to win? Well, it's the one that you feed. And so so he had this really cool deal. It's a deck of cards. It's called I Talk, and then a tiny little letter that says to myself. not a Mac product. He's got this stuff. If you want to check it out, you can go to his website, clintgresham.com. That's clintgresham.com. And these cards are really cool because I think there's 53 of them, actually. And there are positive affirmations on one side. For example, I've got one here. It says, when others feel ashamed, I meet them with empathy. So that's a positive thing, right? And you got one there. What's yours say?
This one says, I never quit.
Wow.
But then on the back.
Yeah, because a lot of people might say, well, that's good and all, but like we're Christians, and so it's got to be Bible-based, right?
Right.
So on the back of mine, when others feel ashamed, I meet them with empathy. It says, Isaiah 54:4, do not be afraid, for you will not be put to shame. Don't be intimidated, for you will not be humiliated. You will forget about the shame you experienced in your youth. So
that's awesome.
It's a Bible-based affirmation.
So this one says, I never quit. And on the back, it's got Galatians 6:9. It says, so let's not allow ourselves to get tired doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't quit.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So I got this deck of cards, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to use them. And what I've decided I might do for my family is that we pull one card out of the deck every week, and we put it up on our family, you know, message center, and we all read it, and that will be like a memory scripture for the week. So that every week we're just giving ourselves positive affirmations,
I think it'd be cool to kind of brainstorm on this a little bit and find any number of different ways
to
utilize this.
Absolutely.
Not just for the family, yes. And I think, you know, a lot of times as youth workers, we tend to default toward thinking, how can I use this for my youth group? But I like the idea of, you know, let's make family.
Well, exactly.
To raise my kids the way they need to. Well, 2/3 of my kids are in the youth group anyway, so.
Me too. Right there.
Yeah, very, I like very it. Cool.
And so, yeah, if you're interested in any of this, you can go visit his website. But if you have any ideas that you want to share with us about how these cards could be used, feel free to get a hold of us.
Yeah, or maybe share with us a little bit of your story about some roller coasters you know and how you dealt with it.
Absolutely. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can visit our website. That's www.eclectic.com. That's E-K-K-L-E-C-T-I-C. You can email us, podcast@eclectic.com. Once again, E-K-K-L-E-C-T-I-C. Hit us up on Twitter. We are @eclectic. And on Facebook, we are facebook.com/IamEclectic. Thanks for listening. I'm Rob.
And I'm Scott.
Stay eclectic.